morning, good evening, good coding campers. It's Monday, and that means it's time for MSDN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good time. So here to bring us into the week is our host, Mike Benkovich.
All right, well, thank you, Eric, and I want to welcome everyone back to another week of MSDN Radio. This is the radio show that helps developers figure out what they need to know. In past weeks, we've covered a lot of different topics. This week, we're talking about Silverlight, and we're bringing in an expert who's going to help us really dive through all the great things that are going on, what you need to know, and kind of go from there. This is a talk show where you can actually dial in. You can ask us questions. You can actually talk to our host. All you have to do is let us know you've got a question, and then once you've dialed in, just press star 8, and then we know you've got a question. So make sure you press the star 8 when you've got a question, and we'll have you introduce you, and you can do ask your question. So today we've got Mithun Dar is going to join us, and he is the original Firestarter out of Redmond. How are you doing, Mithun?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I'm really excited to be talking with John here, who is our guest. Hey, John. How's it going?
How's it going, Mithun?
It's going great. Congratulations on that huge Firestarter that you had. Phenomenal numbers. People from all over the world had tuned in, and I guess we'll be talking a little about the Firestarter today, aren't we?
Oh, sure. We had a little event out here that some people watched called a Firestarter. It was pretty fun.
So I was in Minnesota watching the Firestarter from our local office, and we had a room full of about 50 people all kind of tuned in to see what was going on. How was the atmosphere where you guys were?
It was pretty cool over here. This is John, and out here we had a lot of local registrations. I think we had about 600 people here. We could have filled about twice that, but we had a very small room. But we had a lot of excitement going on here. We had tens of thousands of people watching online. It was pretty exciting.
What were the big announcements that came out of the Firestarter that people that didn't hear it, what was it they should take away from it?
Well, the biggest announcement we had and what most people took away from it starts all with one thing, that Scott Guthrie has a very hidden Silverlight tattoo on his back shoulder.
Ah.
No, seriously, there was we announced Silverlight 5 for the first time at Firestarter in the keynote, and some of the features that we announced, one was 3D, which is we showed a 3D model of Scott Guthrie and a tattoo on his back, which was all, I assume, fake, the tattoo, not the 3D. But then we also discussed a lot of things like multi-window. There's a lot of new outer browser features, debugging, a lot of business line of business features, some brand new media features as well, trick play. A lot of great Silverlight 5 features were announced at the Firestarter. And then, of course, we wrapped up with about 6-7 hours of content of kind of how do you get started.
How to get started with the Silverlight just kind of in general. So, I mean, like people that have never used it are going to get a good feel for being able to get up and get going.
Yeah, we decided that when I came into this role as a Silverlight evangelist, one of the things I decided I want to do is to stop targeting versions so much of content. And what I mean by that is instead of putting out training or courseware or things about in Silverlight 4 you do this or in Silverlight 5 you do that, of course you need some of that. But people in general, like, I just want to know, how do I do this in Silverlight? They don't want to know the version so much as just what's the right practice? What's the right way going about doing this? So we try to make that content of whatever version of Silverlight you're using, this is how you should go about these things.
Yeah. And all of that content is still available for downloading and watching it, correct, John?
Yep, it still is. It's up on the Silverlight.net website. There's 11 videos. For the 11 modules of training that we also put on there that was not streamed live, so we've got an 11 module course. We got labs in VB and C#. There's even a Windows Phone one.
So the Windows,
fantastic.
Windows Phone is just kind of a neat topic. I mean, we've been talking a lot about that in the Firestarter. Did they announce anything new with regards to Windows Phone and just kind of the Silverlight story, or was it a lot more around just the fundamentals, the basics?
No, we didn't discuss too much about Windows Phone at the Firestarter, and the reason for that was back in May and June of last year, 2010, when I started brainstorming the Firestarter before we even had a name for this event, which Mithun was like, hey, why don't we just call it a Firestarter? It's been successful. The idea behind this was we have a lot of announcements of Windows Phone coming out at PDC and through the fall, and we didn't have a lot of announcements about Silverlight at the time, so I wanted to put something together that would kind of consolidate all the Silverlight material that we had. So we really focused instead on how do you build business applications with Silverlight.
Cool.
And John, you're speaking at a lot of conferences, right, in the next few months. And also you have the Silverlight TV podcast that you do every Thursday. Is that correct?
Yeah, we do quite a bit there. Starting off with Silverlight TV, we just aired our 55th or 56th episode last Thursday. Starting to lose track. Yeah, we had over 2.5 million viewers watch in last year. It's pretty amazing. Every Thursday morning at 9 a.m., we have a new one come out at silverlight.tv. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we pretty much just skip holidays, and that's about it.
So how do you find guests and figure out what topics you're going to cover?
Honestly, a lot of it I find through Twitter or comments on the blog site for silverlight.tv. People ask questions. They want to know more about something in particular. Other than that, sometimes there's just a really compelling topic. Like, I've got a guy on next week who's going to be talking about a game that he created for Windows Phone 7. And it's a really, really cool episode. So it's not something somebody was asking for, but it's so cool that I just figured we had to air that.
Do people have to come to Redmond to be on the TV show?
Yeah, I've been pretty much doing everything exclusively out of a studio here, mostly because everything is set up in the studio. We've got all the equipment. We literally have 4 cameras on the people, screen capture, audio, green screen. To move all that stuff around would be tremendously costly. So we do it all here.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and one of the things I'm going to be trying is that we're having an MVP summit for all the Silverlight MVPs and all the MVPs in late February, early March.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually going to try to do a Silverlight TV episode with all the Silverlight MVPs who come to the summit on a single stage, which should be interesting to try to pull off.
Well, that'll be a challenge. But are you? I mean, you'd be able to get how many people would that be? I mean, that's going to be quite a few.
I think right now we've got 30-something of them registered, so it's I'm thinking of kind of like a Jerry Springer format.
So ask the experts and have the experts ask the experts.
Yeah, you know, just go around the room, get people's thoughts, because a lot of these guys all around the world, they have very different perceptions on what's important in Silverlight and what they see. So I think it'd be interesting for everybody to see and hear what they have to say.
So what kinds of topics do you see as being real hot? What are people wanting to know about? I mean,
the ones that have been the most popular that we have, one of our blend topics actually has been very popular. We've had topics on transitions and fluid UI. Using blend in general have been very popular episodes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of closet designers out there, developers who want to be designers, kind of working at those. We've also had some very popular episodes on RIA services, which is one of the reasons we've aired so many on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of goes down between what's popular, what's hard, and kind of what's in at this moment. Performance is another one that we get a lot of questions on. Well, we have a couple other conferences, as Mithun mentioned, coming up as well. We've got MIX, which is, I think, April 12th through 14th.
Didn't you say you have an open request for speakers at this point for that, too?
Yeah. There's anybody out there, so any of our listeners, do you want to speak at MIX? We did this last year. Go to the MIX website, which is live.visitmix.com. That's live.visitmix.com. And you can register to any session that you want to present. And then there's going to be, I believe, they do it the way they did last year, it's going to be an open call for voting with the community. So you can promote your own session. And then at some point before MIX, they're going to announce the X number of top vote getters. And those people are going to be able to get a trip to MIX, a free ticket to get in, and they'll have a session to speak here.
Oh, that's exciting.
And
yeah,
there's
really
well registration. Yeah, and there's an early vote registration for MIX going on right now, correct?
Yeah, you can save $500 and you get one night in the hotel free if you register before February 11th. Which I know when I was independent, I was independent for 14 years before I came to Microsoft. I always registered early.
Mm-hmm.
A lot cheaper.
Well, hey, we got a question in the queue, and this is coming across Twitter, so they, you know, tagged the MSDN radio on there. But it looks like we've got a question that says, when will the Silverlight be fully GPU accelerated like IE9?
That's a good question. There will be more GPU acceleration as we announced at the Firestarter in the next version of Silverlight, but fully GPU accelerated in every way, we don't have anything we're ready to talk about yet at this point.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be a challenge to try to do something cross-platform. Silverlight is a cross-platform solution.
Yeah, I think the thing you can take out of that is with IE9 and Windows Phone 7, there were some significant GPU acceleration features that came out in both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those kind of contributed to, hey, in Silverlight, we could use some of that stuff. So we're taking a lot, especially with Windows Phone 7, we're taking a lot of what we found in Windows Phone 7 and feeding it back into Silverlight as best we can.
Okay. So, what is new and exciting when you look at the Silverlight and just the kind of apps that people have been building? It started out kind of being focused on the media. Now you're seeing a lot more with the business apps, and you're talking about Ria being top topic. Do you see a lot of adoption with the Ria technologies and then pulling in the data, doing a lot more with the line of business type applications?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting. My background, just to digress a little bit, is on building line of business applications for medium to large companies. And so one of the reasons I came in here, I think that they like me for this, is because Silverlight was really picking up big at the time I came on with line of business apps. So one of the exciting parts about that is there's a lot of large businesses using Silverlight. One of the difficult parts about that is a lot of the businesses using it are using it for internal sites for line of business apps, and they may not necessarily want to share that with the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
So like some of the banks, for example, you might imagine that a bank or financial institution may not want to share exactly what they're doing. So it's been a good thing in the sense that we had a lot of companies using it. And the hard thing has been in some cases we can't really show off what they're doing. But there have been a really big adoption. I know, like, for example, we're with the Silverlight 4 EAP program, which is an early access program, I had tremendous interest. I mean, several hundred companies wanted to be involved in getting the bits, and we did that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely picking up big. Ria Services is a big part of that, although not all companies are using Ria Services with Silverlight, but that's just a choice they have.
Mm-hmm. So Silverlight and IE9, I mean, that conversation comes up quite a bit. How do they fit together? You know, what's the talking point when you say, okay, we're going to do an application, we want to look at the best technology for the job. How do you answer those types of conversations?
As far as Ria Services go, for example?
Well, yeah, as far as, like, you know, Silverlight and data, and you got IE9 can do certain things with the browser and being able to tie into the graphics and playing media, you know, the story around Silverlight is that we've got, you know, a tremendous platform for building apps that can leverage the CLR, take advantage of your C#, your managed code, et cetera. You get asked those types of questions very often?
Yeah, we do. You know, sometimes customers will come in and they have a very specific agenda that they're like, we're using Silverlight, we want to know how to accomplish this. And then other customers will come in and say, we're not sure what we want to use. We've heard about Silverlight. We've heard about XYZ. Which technology is the right one for our situation? You know, and both approaches are valid, but the first thing I try to do is find out, well, what are you trying to accomplish, and then figure out which technology is the right one for you, as opposed to trying to shoehorn you into something that may not work for you. You know, if you're building a highly immersive web app that's got to work on, you know, all the phone devices, all the mobile platforms, every single computer basically in the world, and it's got to do something that's very consumer focused and rich graphically, but it's not like, it's not a business app, it's not a media app, that kind of thing, you know, might be more suited for something like HTML5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen some of those examples that came out at the HTML5 announcement last year. But if you're doing something that's a rich premium application, premium media application like Olympics, or some of the TV shows that are out there, or something like Sunday Night Football, those kind of things are really suited more towards Silverlight. And then, of course, the line of business applications, that gets a little more deep. Definitely, I lean people towards Silverlight. But then the question becomes, okay, what is your data doing? How much data do you have? Do you have a back-end business rules engine? If you do, should you be using Ria Services? Should you be using something else? Are you using Entity Framework? It kind of becomes more of an architectural discussion, which Silverlight's just a piece of at that point.
Kind of like OData is a piece of the conversation for getting to information.
And that's the nice thing about this role that I like is I'm an architect. I'm not a Silverlight-only person. Never pretended to be. My whole career has been building entire architectures from top to bottom. And the thing I like about Silverlight is it doesn't shoehorn you into a specific choice. It's not like you have to use Entity Framework and Ria Services the only way you can go. You can use anything you want under the covers. You can use a server that's not even IIS if you want to. So You can use XML, and you can use REST. You can use whatever you want to get your data, which is part that I like about it.
And John, as Silverlight's evolving, I'm guessing this will also be the centerpiece for the Slate devices that are coming out, and you know, that then we'll have the truly write once, run everywhere story.
To a certain degree, yeah. We had, I think, at CES last week, they had some Slate devices that we that Microsoft and partners went out and announced. I think there was a Flickr device and a couple others on Slate.
Mm-hmm.
They were all written with Silverlight, works really, really well. As far as the write once, run everywhere goes, you know, to me, I'd love to see that happen with everything, but the reality is there's certain devices that we can't use Silverlight on, or any technology for that matter, by other manufacturers. For example, iPhone. You know, you want to develop an iPhone, you have to use iOS. So there's going to be situations like that that are going to come up. But, yeah, I mean, can you use Silverlight on multitude? Yeah, you've got Windows Phone, you've got the Slates, you've got Windows 7. It's a nice platform.
Okay. Hey, we got a question in the queue here, and this is coming from Andre. He's wondering, is there a way to visualize or virtualize the list box in Silverlight like it does in WPF?
There is some virtualization options in Silverlight for lists that we have. I'd have to look up exactly what those details are, but if Andre, if you want to ping me offline, I'd be happy to get you that information.
All right. What's your Twitter alias, John, for the rest of the people to know?
My Twitter alias, which is the best way to contact me, honestly, thank you, Boone, is at @John_Papa. John_Papa. That's PAPA.
Okay. So another thing about Silverlight is, you know, you're talking a lot about line of business applications, and one of the big questions that I get from the community always is Silverlight really line of business applications ready, and, you know, should we still go the WPF route? A lot of people often when that comes up, the following question they have is WPF and Silverlight converging? Yes and no to that to a particular extent. What's your take, and how would you address that question, John?
That's a good question. And I'd say before the fire starter, the general option I would have when people say, shall I use Silverlight or WPF? First, I kind of lean towards Silverlight until I heard them tell me something that Silverlight couldn't do. So, for example, if you wanted to use a Win32 API that was on the computer and use it directly, there's no COM interface for it. Access a USB port, for example. Those are the kind of things that WPF is much more suited for, and then I'd lean them back towards WPF. With Silverlight 5, as we announced and we showed some of the demos with Firestarter, we now are opening up the box a little bit more, so you can use PInvoke and some other things to talk to the OS. So there's quite a bit that you can do in Silverlight 5 that you couldn't do in 4 that really kind of sways me back towards the Silverlight arena. So in short, building line business apps, there's a lot you can do starting with Silverlight 5 that WPF already does and kind of brings that convergence into play. There's also a lot of features in WPF, such as the MVVM features, that are being brought over to Silverlight now. Some many requested features like relative source, find ancestor, all of that, and then custom markup extensions as well. So a lot of those have just been brought over in Silverlight 5, and I showed a demo of that at the Firestarter in the keynote.
And if you had to pick up the top 4 or 5 features of Silverlight 5, what would those be, John?
My favorite, honestly, is the XAML debugging. It's a feature for the developer, not for the end user, but it allows you to basically set breakpoints inside your XAML and to examine the whole stack in the debugging chain, and that's really powerful. If you haven't seen the keynote demo of that, you definitely should check it out. I'd say my number 2 feature is probably 3D, only because it's so compelling. The 3D is really amazing, and it's super fast. And something not a lot of people know is when we showed that demo at the keynote of Scott Guthrie, and basically they showed the body of Scott. They showed all this, like, they took his flesh off, his bones off. They showed his muscles, tone. All of that was put together very quickly. And we actually ran it. We bought these really high-powered computers to run the demos, and we figured, hey, let's not take any chances. We want to be super fast. And we had a problem with those high-power computers the night before where they weren't working anymore. So we put it back on the laptop that it was developed on, which was not high-powered. And we actually ran that keynote demo off the laptop, and it was super fast. So we were actually amazed that, you know, early bits running on a laptop that's just one you buy from the store, and it just flew.
Yeah, so, and that demo was pretty slick.
Oh, the demo was just fantastic. And, you know, so I think 3D, I'd say the XAML debugging, opening up PInvoke and some of the other out-of-browser features to talk to the desktop. Those are probably my top three, to be honest with you.
Hey, we got some other questions in here in the queue, and this is from Andre again. He's asking about obfuscators. Do you have a obfuscation tool that you recommend for WPF-type apps or Windows Phone 7 apps?
So obfuscation is one of those topics that people, it's almost become like a religious type thing. Some people love certain ones or use others. There's a couple on the market. I don't want to particularly tout one or the other. There's a couple of good ones, I'd say. I haven't heard of any bad ones, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But my general feeling in obfuscation, especially with things like Windows Phone, I don't recommend them. I know that they do hide the bits. They do hide, you know, your code. But obfuscation, if somebody really wants to get in, it's kind of like putting an alarm on your house. Somebody really wants to get into your car or your house, they're going to get in.
Mm-hmm.
But you're really just making it more difficult. And in the end, some of the obfuscation things can actually slow down your applications in some cases. So I tend to lean against them, but I know that there's a big market for them in general. And for some situations, I wouldn't do it for phone, but for some situations, non-phone, I might do it.
Okay. Another question came in Pat up here in Minnesota, and he's asking about ActiveX. It was a hot thing back in the 90s. You could do all kinds of great stuff with it, but the trouble is it only works on most of the browsers, but not all of them. So you ran into problems with that. And in his question, he says, Apple's Apple, people accept them as a closed platform, et cetera, but if you can't get on the Android tablets, he's worried that we'll have, you know, some challenges where, you know, we're not getting enough broad reach. Are there plans for Silverlight on Android tablets?
Somebody wants to know what's coming down the road, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be very blunt. I can't discuss or reveal anything that's going to be happening in the near future. For the Silverlight plans, that's more for people with vice presidents in their titles.
Right.
But, you know, do we have plans to be on more platforms in general?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a good thing? I think it would be a good thing. Is it going to happen? I'm not sure at this point. I really can't address that.
Yeah, there's several people who have chimed in that they're interested in learning more. So when Mix comes along and other conferences where we've got people out there, that's when they should be going out today and doing the early registration to get there?
Yeah, I think, you know, in general, you can expect that Mix and PEC are the two times a year that we make our biggest announcements,
mm-hmm.
At least for the Silverlight Arena and the other technologies. So I think those are the place I would look. Mix is the one that's only 2.5 months away, so that's where I would kind of point people.
Mm-hmm. So when's the next time you're going to be available? I mean, when people go out and they say, okay, well, I want to talk to John Papa, how do they find you?
I do a lot of local events, or I do a lot of these kind of events like MSDN Radio. Next week, I think on the 20th, I'm doing the LinkedIn.net user group. They call it LibNug. I believe it's at 10 o'clock Pacific time next Thursday. It's an hour long on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of more of a universal thing. And then I'm taking about a month and a half break as we get ready for Mix. And then I'll be, I think, 2 or 3 weeks before Mix, I'm doing Dev Connections in Orlando, which is the last week of March. And then I'm doing Mix, which is April 12th through 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably be doing the Silverlight Boot Camp the day before Mix, kind of like I did last year.
Okay. Oh, those are really awesome. And for people who want to get started or have questions or meet the product team, and if you're at Mix, don't miss that. Definitely check out John Papa's blog or the Silverlight.net site, and you will soon have more information on that.
Yeah, we were sold out last year. We had, I think the room held 400 people, and we had over 400 registrations, and we had 390 people in the room for the boot camp, and it went really, really well. It might have been because of the fact because I gave away free T-shirts to half the people, so I like to give things away.
Well, I know we've got CodeMash this week, and I'm going to be going out there, so if anyone listening wants to stop by and say hi, I might have an extra T-shirt or something for you.
CodeMash? Is that CodeMash?
CodeMash, yeah.
CodeMash is a great conference. That's one I'd like to get to one of these days.
It's in Sandusky, Ohio, and they're holding it at a water park, which is kind of a neat thing to you know, place to do it, but it's bringing people from all over the technology spectrum.
I hope it's an indoor water park.
Oh, you know, it's up on Lake Erie. You're from New York, aren't you? I mean,
yeah, I'm from upstate New York originally.
And that's a nice warm place in January.
Oh, yeah.
And we also another big piece of announcement is we are announcing the web matrix that's available broadly for people to download, and you can tune in on Thursday and get the web matrix.
Actually going to be at CodeMesh. I think there's going to be some people out there that are going to be having some fun with that.
Yeah, so it's Microsoft.com /web/enter. It's a simple site, but we are really pleased to announce it. It also has a big improvement in Drupal on the Drupal side of things. I am not sure how much I can talk about it right now, but definitely check out on Thursday.
Okay.
And it's broadly available. Microsoft.com /web/enter.
Yeah. So to kind of get to these, you know, like last final things, we got time for one more question. Bill in the queue has got a question for John, and then I think we're going to be out of time. But he's asking about questions he's seeing in his Windows Phone 7 applications where he says he has to reboot it to solve the problem. And he's wondering if that might be a Silverlight memory leak or something else, and if there's, you know, things that we're doing kind of prevent those types of issues.
So it sounds like he's having a problem with an app where the app is having an issue and he has to actually reboot the phone. Is that what you're saying?
That's what he's saying, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that myself. I mean, I've heard a variety of different issues here and there. Are we doing things in general to prevent problems from that? Yeah, actually we are. And just as a test run, I've actually deployed a few apps myself to the marketplace, some very simple ones, just to see what the process is like. And I actually intentionally put some mistakes in there to see if they would catch them.
Mm-hmm.
And they did catch all my mistakes. Does it mean some things aren't getting through? I'm sure, just like with other platforms, some mistakes get through. But we definitely have a very rigorous testing team. They do have a in some cases, the complaints have been they're too rigorous in declining apps that, you know, maybe they shouldn't be. So they're trying to be as careful as they can. If you are having a problem with a specific app and it's causing your phone problems,
mm-hmm.
Definitely ping me on Twitter. I would say, you know, go to @John_Pop at Twitter and get in touch with me, and maybe I can put you in touch with the team and see if we can find out what's going on.
Okay. We've got we're almost out of time, and someone's got a question here, but they're not dialed in. I can't get them to – unfortunately, I can't get them to give me the question here, but let's see what we can do here. So there's a colleague that says HTML5 is great for developing future GPU-accelerated HTML5 apps. Should we be – or you know, what's the answer to that question? Are we promoting – the GPU acceleration pieces versus, you know, in the future, you know, how does Silverlight versus the other, I think, is the question.
Silverlight versus HTML5, is that what
yeah.
you're?
Yep.
Okay. So I think the big thing, again, it's the same kind of thing as Silverlight with Flash, Silverlight with WPF. I mean, you pick any two technologies. The first thing I would ask is, what are you trying to accomplish? It's in some cases, some people, I'm not saying this caller has this dilemma, but some people would like to just say, I want one technology to do everything. And I don't think we're there. I don't know if we want to be there, to be honest with you, because
mm-hmm.
Then you're kind of doing one size fits all. So what I look at more is, what are you trying to accomplish? If you're trying to build something like I saw the other day, some really cool plans for a website that went out, which was a music website. There was a lot of graphics and animation. People could register and log in. But most of it wasn't, you know, LOB type stuff. It was more just, you know, user experience in a browser. And it had to work on multiple devices. That kind of thing was very suited for HTML5, and it was a great choice for them. If you're doing something that's more intensive, you know, requires more server components, has to be really high user experience, but LOB focused, or premium media with DRM, those kind of things I look at more for Silverlight. So to me, I see a space for both of these. I think the landscape has changed.
Mm-hmm.
because HTML5 has gotten richer and so has Silverlight. But I just think that's just an evolution.
Well, I appreciate the candor and the response. I mean, sometimes when someone's working on technology, they try to promote that as the only answer. And it sounds like you're saying, you got to look at the question, what you're trying to accomplish, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it gives credence to what we do. Honestly, in this role, to me, I don't respect and put a lot of credence and trust into people who say the technology I'm working on is the only one that's available, and that's all you should use.
I've got a hammer. Everything's going to be a nail.
Yeah, it's just not the way the world is. It's kind of like when you go to a car dealer, and they're like, yeah, my car is the best car in the world. It's not true. So you got to pick the right tool for the right job.
Okay. Well, I guess, this question was more along the lines of the GPU acceleration and how that all ties in. But you kind of talked about that earlier, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of things with GPU acceleration that work really well with Silverlight. Would I choose Silverlight or HTML5 strictly based upon that? I would not. I would look deeper into what the needs of the application are.
All right. Well, hey, any last takeaway before we close out?
I'd say the big thing is, keep an eye on Mix. I definitely would love to see you there. My favorite part of my job is to talk to people like this and to do one-on-one conversations at these conferences. If you come to Mix, please look me up. I love talking to you. If you don't come to Mix, check me out on Twitter.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show today, John, and hopefully we'll have a chance to chat again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Ben.
Well, that sort of wraps it up. We're now at MSDN Radio for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking with Brian Harry about how TFS and that all fits into the Azure story. So at PDC, we talked about hosted TFS, and we're going to have some fun finding out about what's involved and the best stories. So check it out. Go out to MSDNradio.com, and you can register for the show by going out to bit.ly/MSDNradio-30 for next week. We'll talk to you next time, and thanks for joining us.
So that's it for this Monday. Go to MSDNradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding!